Hello, and welcome to Little Steps, Big Futures, the podcast that brings you all things early years. Each week, we chat to some incredible guests with amazing stories, talk about childcare tips, and delve into some controversial topics. I'm Aoife Murphy.
And I'm Jenny McCarty.
Let's get started.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This week we are going to do something a little different. It's just myself and Aoife solo today. So we said we would actually, instead of, I suppose, staying in looking at the present day childcare system and looking at the future childcare system and where that's going to go, we said we'd take a step back and have a look at our own kind of childhood experiences, both in school or childcare, babysitters, etc. Just a little fun for you and for us, I suppose, to look back as well. So I won't bore you any longer. Aoife is up early again this morning. I don't know how she does the early rises all the time. So how are you feeling, Aoife?
Actually feeling pretty good. Had a good sleep. The sun is shining. It's pretty warm here now at the moment, starting to heat up for the summer. So it's not easy to stay in bed when the sun kind of comes up around 6 a.m. and you're like, it's nice. I could go out for a walk before the intense heat hits during the middle of the day. So yeah, it's getting easier to get up. I even said to Shane this morning, I said, I don't even have to turn on the lights in the living room because it was so bright. So it's nice to see those early mornings or those brighter mornings coming back. Just puts you in a more positive mood as well, I think.
It definitely makes a difference. I mean, that kind of mini heat wave we got here like kind of 2 weeks ago, everyone was in such good form. The kids, the parents, the staff, it kind of really lifts your kind of spirits. And, you know, you go home in the evening and you feel like you have an evening after, you know, being in work till 5-6 o'clock. You know, you kind of dread the winters where you're heading home and it's already dark and you're straight home and into your pajamas for the evening, you know. So it's nice to have a bit of brighter days and kind of something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, we're going to kind of look back at our childhoods and our experiences. And, for, you know, I felt kind of like the Dearing Garrity podcast where she's like, what's your first memory of laughter? It's like, what's your first memory of your childhood? And I've been thinking about this since we started talking about it this week, and I genuinely can't remember. So I'm wondering, can you remember if like that far back to your childhood?
Anyone who knows me knows I have the worst memory ever, honest to God. My dad has such a vivid memory. It's ridiculous. Like, he'll have stories from when he's so small. And I don't know. Now, like, when I look back, in my dad was very good for taking video recordings at every family event, every holiday. We've holiday videos that last like, it's like 3 hours of trees, basically, like scenery. But, you know, it's so good because you can look back and you kind of feel like you're there. So I don't know if I necessarily remember the childhood, or is it just kind of, you know, reminding me because of the watching the videos back. But no, I wouldn't have a very, I'd have the odd flashback or kind of more of a general view of spending time with my cousins and stuff like that and kind of growing up out in Muckross. But other than that, no, I'd be not the best.
Yeah, I think for me as well, I have the exact same. My first like proper memory is the exact same thing. It's like we went to Disney World, Florida in, I want to say 98. My mom will tell me if that's wrong. It's either 98 or 99. But I was about 5 or just about 5. Went in September, which, you know, was probably unheard of to take 2 weeks off. Now in September, the first 2 weeks of school for my brothers. But, you know, back then it wasn't really a big deal. So they took us for 2 weeks, and watching those videos back, I'm like, this is a complete waste of like my memory. You know, my brothers are 10 years and 7 years older than me, so they have an incredible memory of that trip, which would have been a trip of a lifetime for, you know, a modest family in the 90s to spend that much money on airfare and hotels and park tickets. My mom still has them all. They're not anywhere near expensive as they were now, I tell you that much. But for me, it was always like, I wish I could remember this because I looked like I had a great time in the video.
Definitely. I mean, we were very lucky to go. Now, it wasn't like to Florida we went. We would go on kind of a Spanish or Portugal, to Spain or to Portugal kind of every year. or every 2 years. We did kind of Disneyland Paris, and we did Christmas in Rome. Stuff that I guess I didn't really appreciate back then as much as I would do now, but I still have those memories, and it's great now to kind of have a look back and to see that time. And I suppose me and Shane would have been close enough in age, kind of 2 year gap, so we were kind of a good age. And I suppose a main thing would be those kids that you would make friends with around the swimming pool and stuff when you were on holidays. I mean, we had pen pals for years after, myself and Shane, and mom used to make friends then with the parents of the friends that we made friends with. And I remember her, like, years later writing up, she'd sit down and do Christmas cards. And I'd be like, who is that family in Manchester that you're sending a card to? And she'd be like, oh, do you remember that family you made friends with at the pool? So, like, they stayed in contact for so long. But that was kind of, I suppose, a big memory of ours as well, is having that family holiday every year, going to the water parks and swimming in the pool and making new friends. So we were, I suppose, very privileged and very lucky to have that.
Yeah, and this isn't a holiday episode. We're going to talk about school in a sec. But my, you know, I didn't have that experience. I think I missed out a bit on that too, because by the time, you know, I was five going to Florida, I don't think the next big holiday was until I was maybe nine. We went to Spain. I think I went to Paris, Disneyland Paris. We obviously had a thing for Disney. My brother was, you know, 19 and 16 in a bit, almost 17. So at that stage, they were like, no, we are not going with you. So I had one big family holiday that I can remember well, that I know of. And then other than that, we didn't really like holiday together as a family after that. So that's what happens when you come from a family with a big age group in between.
You know, when you get older, you're stuck in more things, and, you know, between birthday parties and everything that you don't want to miss, and college and whatever else, and exams, it gets harder to kind of plan those things as well. But like, moving on to school, and something that when I went to college, I suppose, people used to laugh because I used to tell them that the primary school I went to was, it's like country primary school, and they used to do that thing where you'd have juniors and seniors in one room, and then you'd have first, second and third in another room, and then fourth, fifth and sixth in another room. So I went there from junior infants to fourth class, and then I changed for fifth and sixth class to a different primary school that was, I thought, was bigger, but still had two classes in one. So we did fifth and sixth. And like, it was funny, people were saying, how did they do the subjects? Like, how did the teacher teach two classes in one? And, you know, we used to be telling them that in fifth class, I did sixth class Irish, and in sixth class, I did fifth class Irish. And then we made our confirmation in fifth class because they had merged the two together. But it's funny, that's so normal to me. Whereas when I speak to my friends who went to kind of town, like big town or city schools, and they're like, we had like 30 kids in one class, and they were all like just fifth class, which sounds crazy to me.
Yeah, but even like, I live 10 minutes away from you driving. I went to the school in the town as well, and there was 32 kids in every class. So it's not like you lived in the bog sticks nowhere. Like, you know what I mean? It's, you only lived right outside the main town, which you could technically walk to from where you live. So it's not like you were in some crazy offland country. But yeah, like, I went to a big school as well, an all girls school at that. And I think that's also something that probably would have shaped, you know, who I became as well. I think there is something to be said for having a mixed school versus an all-girls school. And I don't know if you have any opinions on that, being from a primary school that was mixed.
It gives you just, I suppose, a broader view of everything. I mean, I would find it easy to make friends with either gender. You know, you have an understanding, I guess, of, I suppose, different emotions. And I suppose growing up then, going out for lunch and you're playing with the boys, you're playing soccer and football. As I know that sounds such stereotypes, but you know, you had that mix where if you wanted to go and play soccer, football with the boys, or else we used to play make pretend McDonald's with the grass down the back of the schoolyard with the girls, you know, so you had that kind of crossover. I suppose it's a tough one, but I definitely do think that there is, it does kind of impact who you are and who you grew up to be. I suppose just having that exposure of both genders within your school, you kind of see, you see, when I was in school, things would have been very gender stereotyped as well, you know, as I said, and even you can hear that listening to me, that it was always kind of the boys out playing the football and the soccer, and then the girls used to be kind of playing, you know, make pretend down the back. But I do, I don't have a full answer for you of why I would kind of push a mixed school more, but I think definitely it helps to kind of form relationships. I mean, I would probably think that if you were, like, let's take the case of an only child at home, or come from a house full of girls, and then you go into a primary school and it's full of girls, and then you go to secondary school and you're full of girls. When you go to college, if you don't have outside activities that kind of give you an exposure to be making friends with boys and stuff, I would say that it would impact your confidence or your kind of sociability.
No, 100%. And not that I was came out of college like not knowing how to write my name or like speak to boys. You know what I mean? It's I went from all girls primary school to an all girls secondary school to basically an all girls college course. There was two guys in it, so we can say there was all girls. There was over 100 in my course. Like obviously it didn't really impact me as, you know, someone who could form relationships with either sex either, but there's definitely people who may be a bit more shy, a bit more introverted, who definitely came out of like those experiences not knowing how to interact. You know, you go into a society that's obviously mixed. If you're going into childcare, then you're going into another setting that just has all women, you know, the majority are women. But if you went into a managing degree or a business, you know, if you didn't go into childcare after college, you're talking to men and women all day long. I think like it might hinder, yeah, I might be wrong. People can call me out on this, but like it might hinder your ability to like know how to interact properly with, you know, I'm saying air quotes here, the opposite sex. Obviously now we have so many non-binary genders out there, which is amazing, to kind of form those relationships and those social skills. I think it's important to kind of grow up with, you know, like playing with everyone, talking to everyone, and getting those perspectives from an earlier age. And I think now as children grow up, it's more accepted. There is a lot more talk about, you know, transgender, non-binary, male, females, all the pronouns that we have for people who want to be identified as a certain pronoun. And it's great because those children are going to be well adjusted and well rounded and then kind of know how to navigate society when they kind of go through the schooling system as well. Sorry, I went off on a complete tangent.
I'm way off track. No one is joking. But yeah, no, I often do think, like, I suppose, would it have, if I had gone to a mixed secondary school, you know, would it have made a difference to who I am today? Like, would it have kind of influenced who I am? I think it probably would have. I mean, secondary school and an all-girls school can be quite bitchy. You know, a lot of drama, a lot of gossip. And, you know, it's the same in the childcare sector. It's primarily female. You know, and it is great sometimes to have, and I'm not saying men don't gossip, because, you know, some of the closest men to me love an old gossip now and then. But, you know, I would find that they love listening to the gossip, but they don't really put it out there after that, you know. So, yeah, I think definitely maybe going to a mixed school would have influenced me now. You know, we spoke a lot and we got some questions in there as well, or some answers into the question box about teachers and the influence that teachers can have. I had a good mix of male and female teachers going through school, you know, and I think it was good because I think they had different ways. Now, every teacher obviously has different methods of teaching, but I don't know, it was kind of good, I suppose, to have that male role model as your teacher, even if it was just for the year or the 2 years, you know.
With the teachers, yeah. I don't know if you found this as well, though. I've been thinking about it, that when you were younger and your teacher did something or got cross at you for something, you'd go home and you'd tell your parents and they'd say, you have to listen to your teacher because they're right. And you never really got justice, even if the teacher was completely in the wrong. And obviously, sometimes you were probably a brat and like they were probably right. But I'm looking at the teachers now who are a little bit warmer. They've got more, I suppose, like they're more personable. They care about their students a lot more. Not saying the teachers back in the 90s didn't, but it was just a different way of teaching. It's funny, though, because now teachers, I feel, can't catch a break because you can't say anything or do anything without someone pulling you up, and parents will automatically believe their kids, and then they'll come into the school and they'll make a, you know, have a meeting with the teacher. And I don't, it's kind of like it's gone from one extreme to the other extreme. So I don't know if you found that working with after school children as well.
Yeah, like taking it back to my own experience, I definitely, like thinking back on any teachers in primary school that I would have formed a bond with, and it, one in particular would have been a male teacher when I was in fifth and sixth, and I only met him a few years ago in passing, and you know, he still made such a big effort, and I didn't have that with the female teachers. You know, maybe in, I would have had a few in secondary school because it was primarily female teachers there. I didn't have many male teachers, but like the one that stands out to me from my childhood would be that male teacher, because he just gave everyone so much time. You know, and he kind of, he would have made the classroom more fun, you know what I mean? And it wasn't just that we sat down, we used to get up and we used to act out the Irish role plays and stuff like that. Or we used to say, okay, it's lovely outside, we'd go out and we'll, you know, kick a ball around, or we'll do this or do that. And it always kind of stuck out in my mind. But I think nowadays, and even listening to parents speaking about the teachers, like one of the parents had said to me about one of the after school kids that he's so mad about his teacher, and you know, he really adores her, one of our after school kids. And he came in from from school last week, and he was saying, my teacher's getting married, and he was so excited that she was getting married, and he was really like involved in the whole thing. And some of them are just like the stories they have now. I know there's one school in particular, and they actually don't go by, we'll say, Miss McCarthy. You know, they're called by their first name. You know, and it, I don't know, it's lovely. Like, and I just feel like they're a lot more relatable now. Definitely. I think before it was more of a kind of professional structure of you're the teacher, I'm the teacher, you're the student, and you sit and you listen. Whereas now there's more involvement, and they'll know what's going on in the life, and even celebrating birthdays and stuff like that. It's a lot more kind of, yeah, as you said, a lot more personable now.
Yeah, and I was only having this conversation with a group of friends of mine recently, because it was Lent and we were talking about, what are you giving up for Lent? And, you know, are you giving up anything for Lent? And they were like, no, like, you know, we're too busy in our lives to be trying to follow the Lent calendar. But I remember saying that I was in, I feel like it was either first class or senior infants, and it was Lent. And I'm pretty sure I didn't have any chocolate, because my parents would be super religious and they would have made me take on or do something for Lent, definitely. But I remember this nun, who we had a lot of nuns in our primary school, because it was a school run by the convent. So I remember she came in first day of Lent with a big box. She made everyone open their lunch boxes, and she took out any sign of chocolate, sweets, treats out. And I was like, I could still remember that so vividly, because everyone was crying, because these kids who were like 6 years old, who don't really know what Lent is yet, you know, we would have learned about it, but obviously had no concept of like why this teacher was taking. And she would put them in a box until the end of the year, and she'd label all them, and then the end of Lent, and she'd give them back to you after 40 days. And it still sticks in my mind. That would not happen now.
Definitely not. I mean, we have a healthy eating policy here, and trying to get the chocolate brioches out of the lunchboxes are another story. But no, definitely, there's definitely been a change, and it is lovely. And look, I know, I just think, I suppose, the attitude and maybe the teaching styles have changed. And I think a lot of that as well comes from, I mean, I've seen it myself in Mary Eye, where the teachers are actually, a lot of our modules will cross over with the teachers' modules. And I think they're just learning to be more kind of caring. And, you know, I suppose that kind of comes in the rise of the, you know, mental health as well, and taking care of your mental health, which is actually lovely to see. And I guess, I mean, some kids that go to school, you know, that might be the only positive interactions that they have with an adult. So if they're being asked how are they, you know, I have heard like some amazing stories of teachers, and that might be their only kind of positive role model in their life. So it is lovely to know that they're being listened to, they're being heard in the school, instead of just having to sit there and listen to the teacher. So I was thinking back earlier, and I was thinking I don't think childcare was kind of a huge thing back there. It would have been more kind of at home childminders. Now I do know I went to preschool, and it's funny because I actually, when I came out of college, that preschool was the first preschool that I went in and started a job in childcare. Now it's an amazing facility now. It was like a shed back when I was going there, but you'd go in for a few hours a day. But that's the only kind of link I had to, I suppose, childcare, except for my childminding after school each day.
Yeah, same with me. I don't think I went to, like, as a young child, my mom was actually a childminder. So I grew up around kids. I've said that a million times on here. So she was at home anyway. And I did go to a preschool in the same school that I went to. They have a preschool. They have an amazing, I think, is it like 3 or 4 rooms there now? It's after growing substantially since I've been there. And it has a lot of the same teachers. I think one of them actually only retired last year. So I have this just random vivid flashback of me doing like beading and threading, and that's the only thing I can remember about being in that setting. But yeah, like my mom was a childminder, and that was the majority. My neighbor was a childminder, and they used to kind of share, not kids, but like if my mom couldn't take a child this day, they'd just say, oh, my neighbor can take her. It's that, like, you know, they it was just so flexible that it was three doors down from where I lived. So it wasn't like a big deal. It was the same area. They just dropped them off. But I remember having kids in and out of the house like my entire childhood until I went to in secondary school. My mom did care for kids as well. So she kind of gave that up then eventually. She was like, I'm too old for this now.
Yeah, and thinking back, like there was no regulation. I'd say there could have been maybe 6 or 7 of us in this woman's house, you know, that we went to after school and during the summer times as well. And like there was definitely stuff that went on that you wouldn't get away with today, you know. And the funniest story about it, I guess, is, and like my brother used to be quite, I'd say, wild when he was younger and a bit boisterous. And you know, my aunts and uncles used to meet us in town with this childminder, and they were like, how does she do it? Like, we used to be like an army marching through the town. Like, you wouldn't even be looking left or right. And they were like, what's her parent, or like, what's her style? Because, you know, she has them like so strict and all that. And my brother was very bad for eating his dinners, and she used to make kind of mince, kind of a shepherd's pie thing. And you know, mom actually got the exact she bought the meat in the exact place, she bought the same packet of stuff, and my brother still wouldn't eat it for her, you know. And we asked my brother years later, and we were like, why were you wouldn't eat anything? He was like, because I knew I would get nothing else at the house, like you get that and that's it, you know. So I definitely think things have kind of regulated more now, which in one sense is probably good. But yeah, it's funny, like there was no structure of it or no regulation or anything like that.
No, definitely not. And when I got to the age where I was kind of like, you know, deemed mature enough to kind of look at after the kids, if my mom was cooking the dinner and stuff, like we'd be out the back playing. I have an actual shed in my back garden that's built, like if you turned it into a one bed studio apartment, you could definitely live in it. It's that big. I don't know why it's that big, but it's that big. And my brother used to spend a lot of time in there. And on one side, they had a couch, a TV, PlayStation. Eventually, more toys kind of moved into that area. And then on the other side was like the turf, the timber, the shovels, the like gardening stuff. And we used to just play in there, you know, like mom used to say, go up now, the dinner will be ready in an hour, go up and watch TV or put on the PlayStation or, you know, SingStar or like all those old games that we used to play. It's just insane. And then like going to town, like we'd have like 3 or 4 buggies, and there'd just be me and my mom pushing them around town during the summer, and you have 2 or 3 kids hanging off each buggy, like hold on to the buggy now. And like it just was a different, completely different era, and it wasn't that long ago.
And it's something that I've been thinking about recently, because we've had I suppose we have our after school children here in fifth class who are kind of getting bored now. And you know, I think they're kind of having the conversation with the parents and stuff to say, will they actually come here next year? Because they're kind of gone beyond it. And you know, I was kind of thinking, like, before, if you were, you know, what's the acceptable age for somebody to stay at home by themselves? Like before, if somebody was staying at home when they were maybe 9, you wouldn't even bat an eyelid. You know, you mightn't be get there all day by yourself, but like if you spent a few hours at home by yourself when you were 9, it would have been completely acceptable. And possibly if my brother was 9 and taking care of me, you know, that no one would even bat an eyelid at it. Whereas I think now you'd nearly be reaching for the phone to ring social services or TUSLA, you know. So I think things have definitely changed now. You know, I suppose in one way it's good and it's safer that it's like that, but definitely don't have as much freedom as we used to have when we were younger.
Oh, 100%. And even at that, my mom used to work, well, she still works in a secondary school, and for the exams, she used to work in June. And when I was in sixth class and I was off at the start of June, my mom would still be at work, and she'd be at work for maybe, she would go in at around 9 to maybe like 1. It wasn't that long. It was only to provide food for the inspectors for the exams. She'd just like leave me in the house. She'd just be like, lock the doors. No, she'd lock me in nearly. She'd take nearly every key out of the house except for one, so I could get out in an emergency. But she'd like lock all the doors, close all the windows. She'd make the food so I didn't even have to like touch the stove or the hob or anything like that. And she'd be like, I'll be back at 1 o'clock. Ring me if you need me. But it was just like where I grew up versus where you grew up. And I'd say I grew up attached to so many different houses. All the neighbors knew you. All the neighbors knew you. You knew all the neighbors. So it was always like, if there's an emergency, go to this house number. If you want a key, go to this house number. And it's still like that. I went home last October and I surprised my parents from I wasn't supposed to be home. And I arrived at the house. There was nobody there and I didn't have a key. And I went to my neighbor and I was like, hey, can I have the key? And she was like, here you go. Like, it's just so funny how like that kind of tradition stayed. But yeah, like same thing. Like I would have been home alone because what else is my mom going to do?
Yeah, I think, as you said, definitely times have changed. You don't really leave your doors unlocked and stuff anymore. But I suppose, Jess, to do a bit of a quick round, quick fire round before we finish up. I want to kind of look at the ones that did come in, the comments that did come in during the week. I think one we can all kind of relate to is a negative, hated homework, and positive, playing with your friends at lunch. There's nothing worse going home in the evening when you're tired, having to face into maths and English. So it's definitely, I think, a main one in Ireland as well to think about. So there was another one, bad memories, copying the English pronouns loads of times in English and Spanish when I failed one.
Traumatizing. Traumatizing.
Yeah, exactly. And on a positive note, remembering one teacher at school who played the piano, different songs, and read loads of books for us. And that's lovely when you think back and you have like a positive memory of a teacher and who actually gave you time. You know, that's it's really valuable, actually.
I definitely had that in Pass Irish. No surprise, I was not very good at Irish, but Pass Irish in secondary school, at the end of each class, if we got our work done really, really fast, we'd have a sing song and our teacher would play the guitar and sing with us. So I still remember that. That was a nice memory to have.
And another one, being in the same school as my siblings, had its ups and downs. I think I can definitely relate to this one. I was one of those younger, annoying sisters that used to always want to play with my brother's friends. And but it was nice in one way because I suppose I knew that he was always there and, you know, was always, if anything actually went wrong, they'd call him out and, you know, if I was upset or anything like that. But yeah, I suppose it was the only time that we were overlapping in school together. And obviously it won't happen again. So it's nice to kind of have that memory to look back on. Another one was school tours were the best. Definitely. I remember you'd literally be waiting for the school tour to come up. Now, it's not like the school tours sometimes these days where they're going off to fucking all parts of the world and everything. We only got maybe Kennedy's Farm or
which is still amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Or UL as well, I think, was a big one for us. You go kayaking and stuff in UL. So much fun. And I think just something that we saw look forward to as well.
Yeah, definitely loved the school tours as well. Craig Cave was another one there that I went to. The one we already mentioned, teachers were way less personal and warm than they are now. So we said that already. Someone actually wrote in a longer message to say that they didn't have a very good experience with one primary school teacher and actually ended up developing a stammer because she would shout and she would get really, really close to their faces. And in particular, the little boy who was sitting right beside her, she says, her words, was the kind of, let's say, air quotes, the class clown, and would always get in trouble. And by proxy, she developed a nervous stammer because she was sitting next to him and the teacher would get really close into his face, which, you know, is considered, I suppose, abuse. Now you wouldn't have that in any classroom to this day, but I'm not sure how old this girl is, but she doesn't seem to be that old. It doesn't seem to be that long ago. So definitely a very negative experience for her. But on the positive then, she said that the preschool she went to, she enjoyed rolling down the hill in the outdoor area, and she actually still passes it on her way to work every day, and it always makes her smile. So that's a nice little memory for her to have.
Yeah, and I think the last one there, used to go to a childminder's and I loved it, which is great to look back and have a positive experience. We had no one actually wrote in that they'd went to a childcare setting, so I don't even know. I feel like I know they existed, but I just feel like they weren't really a thing. Like, you'd either be minded by your friend's family or family members of yours, like relatives, or else you went to a childminder's house.
Yeah, maybe not where we came from. Maybe in the bigger cities like Dublin or the Cork City, they might have had them. But I genuinely can't remember when the first daycare, let's say nursery, creche, those kind of, that's what we're talking about.
Like full daycare, not so much preschool, because we do know preschool was there.
We did have preschools, yeah. I think everyone nearly went to like a preschool or some form of preschool just before they went into school. But yeah, it's interesting.
For 1 year as well. None of this 2 year stuff that we have now.
I don't know, was it free? I must ask my mom if it was free.
I'm not too sure, actually. I presume
probably integrated into the school, so whatever I paid for. No, you don't pay for school, do you? I can't even remember.
No. Unless you went to a really cool private school.
I went to a private school, yeah. That's so funny. Yeah, I'll have to ask her to see what her, she probably won't remember.
That's the American now coming out in you.
Staff fees over here, 30 grand for preschool, for private preschool at that. It's just, that's a topic for another day that I can talk about, but insane.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like this has been such all over the place podcast, but in a good way, in a good rant, as always. I think if we've no set questions or script, we just as you can see, go off on a rant. But it's good just to sometimes take a break from the kind of structured side of things and just have a little chat, especially for people to kind of relate or to get to know us more as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, we're very kind of like professional, let's say, on our other podcasts when we have guests, and we want to make sure that they get their points across and their businesses across. But we actually are a little bit kind of like all over the shop in real life. And we like to kind of portray our personalities in these podcasts so that you guys can relate to us a bit more, like Jenny said. So, yeah. So until next week, I suppose, when we have a guest back on, and not sure who we're going to release next, but that'll be next week's problem for me.
Exactly. But we won't ramble on now and keep you too long. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to our rants. And we'll see you all next week for a more structured podcast again.
Thanks, everyone. Chat to you soon.
Bye.
As always, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Little Steps, Big Futures, the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review. And if you would like to get in touch, please find us on Instagram and Facebook at Little Steps, Big Futures. See you next time.